want us to turn to Romans chapter 7, Paul's letter to the Romans, and the 7th chapter. Romans chapter 7, and we'll begin to read from verse 14. Romans 7, and there at verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, 'tis no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. I'm sure you've been asked the question, why? Why is the world the way it is? Or you may have been asked the question, why did little Johnny, I don't know why they always call him Johnny, but why did he do this terrible thing? Parents say to children, why did you do that? Why did you do that to your sister or your brother? From a very early age, we do things we shouldn't do. The answer, of course, to the question of why is the world the way it is? Why do we do bad things? What the Bible calls sin. S-I-N. To the liberal, Jesus died to make you a good person. Jesus died to set a good example. The old liberals used to hate the understanding of sin and that Jesus Christ became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Bible doesn't make sense without the word sin. It's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. Sin, according to the Apostle John, is the transgression of God's law. We've all sinned. That's why Christ died. But what does sin have to do with the Christian today? Does it have anything to do with the Christian? Well, the Apostle Paul is writing in Romans chapter 7 about a man who seems to have big problems with himself. I want to look at just four brief things concerning verses 14, but largely verses 24. Four simple things: the enemy, the exegesis, the experience, and then the excellency. Sin for the world is something to joy and to delight in. Sin is fun. In my hometown of Swansea, there was a nightclub called Sin, or Sinners. The world delights in it. It's fun. You know, Moses rather would be with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But sin is an enemy. Was an enemy before we became Christians and repented of our sin and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an enemy. The reason why the world is in the condition it's in is because of sin. And the world is under judgment and under wrath. And that's why we die. And the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So to the Christian, sin is the greatest enemy. The Christian becomes alive to sin, and things that we didn't even know were there before we came to Christ have all of a sudden become manifest to us. And we're conscious of our sin like we never were before. But the enemy of every human being is a sinful nature. And that enemy leads to death. The second thing I want to notice is the exegesis. Paul asks the question, O wretched man that I am. Now there's a bit of controversy amongst commentators. Who is the man that the Apostle Paul is speaking about? O wretched man that I am. Who is the man? Well, some say it was the Apostle Paul before he became a Christian. He's talking about his old self, the way he used to be. So it's the non-believer. Others tell us it's the Christian. But it's the immature Christian who's not yet had some super blessing. I remember a man telling me, he said he knew a friend. And he had a friend who said to him, you know, Bob, there are only two types of Christians in this world. Sanctified and unsanctified. To which his friend replied, and I suppose you're one of the sanctified ones. So some say it's the weak Christian who's yet to grow in maturity. It's the, what some people call the carnal Christian. Others tell us it's every believer, every Christian, from the greatest saint to the weakest saint. It's all Christians in all ages, right throughout their life. Others, fourthly, would tell us it's the in-between. It's a man under conviction of sin. And he's not fully yet a Christian, but he's almost there. Which one is right? Well, looking at the passage, exegete the passage, is it the regenerate man? Is it the unregenerate man? Is it the Christian? Is it the in-between? Well, if we look at the passage, you don't need to be a Greek scholar. I counted up the eyes. I think I counted 26 of them. Paul is saying, for that which I do, I allow not. And he goes on. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And so on. And then verse 24. O wretched man that I am. He's not saying that I used to be. Or I used to be like this. He's describing himself. He's writing a letter to ordinary Christians in the pew. He says, O wretched man that I am. And the unbeliever, at least certainly the vast majority, they don't glory in God's law. They don't delight in the law of God. They don't rejoice in God's deliverance, in God's law. They love their sin. They don't struggle against their sin. This man in Romans 7 is having a huge battle with sin. Whereas the Bible says every man proclaims his own goodness. You know, even I listened to the radio a couple of weeks back and a poor lady, her daughter had been murdered by some murderer. And she said on the radio, I don't believe he was evil. What he did was evil. But I don't believe he was evil. And you get clever people and psychologists all, well, he's not evil. You know, very few people are evil. We proclaim our own goodness, but Paul says, O wretched man that I am. So the context, I believe, favours Paul is describing the Christian. He's describing every believer right throughout their Christian experience. Paul is a mature believer. He wrote 13 or 14, if you include Hebrews, letters of the New Testament. He's referred to at times as the great apostle Paul. So it's not an immature Christian. It's the great apostle Paul, O wretched man that I am. And the third point, the experience. The story is told of a Scottish Presbyterian minister. And he came into the room and they had a coal fire, real fire. And he thought he was on his own. So he came into the room and warmed his hands. He didn't realize there was a child in the corner. So he mumbles to himself, Oh, my sin, my sin. And the child, when they grew up, retold this story and they didn't fully understand, of course, the depths of what he is saying. But there was a man lamenting over his sin. Christian experience is that we battle with sin. It never leaves us. F.B. Meyer, the great preacher and author, along with the Keswick theology that was popular at the time. And some people thought, well, you can root sin out of your life like you root out a bad tooth and it's gone. The story is told that he believed he had some experience. Until a younger man, I think it was G. Campbell Morgan, became the new pastor of a church and people started to leave. F.B. Meyer's church and go to the younger fella. And he felt within himself envy and jealousy rising up within him. Well, where was that? Where did that come from? Comes from indwelling sin. Now, people used to describe it as an old nature and a new nature. And the new nature is the Christian, but the old nature is what you used to be. And they battle against each other. I'm not sure those are correct terminologies. Because when a person becomes a Christian, we become a new creation. I am crucified with Christ, said Paul. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Conversion, real conversion, is transformation. We are given a new nature. It's not addition to the old nature. The old nature dies. I am crucified with Christ. What does crucifixion speak of? Death. So the old self has died. What do I battle with then? We battle with what theologians call the indwelling sin. So indwelling sin is within us. It doesn't go. It doesn't leave. Now that's not to speak that everything is defeatism. Because the Christian does get, in a sense, victory over sin. But it's never complete. It's gradual transformation. Gradual change of life. You know, sometimes a Christian may think, well, I've got the habit of, I've got the victory over that particular sin. But we mustn't think of sin as simply individual habits or mistakes or bad things we do. Sin is, as we've seen, is the enemy of God's people. And it's never outrooted. I was in college with a guy who claimed to have had a second blessing and sin no more. Sin is gone. Until he lost his temper with a roommate. They didn't get on. And then of course he's back to square one. But whereas the Christian experience with sin is fighting. You know, fight the good fight. The two essential reasons why the epistles are written in the New Testament is one, to warn us against error and doctrinal falsehood. And secondly, our sanctification. Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Christ said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So it's a constant fight and a constant battle. And that's true of Spurgeon. C.H. Spurgeon battles with it. Martin Luther, John Calvin, David Brainerd. All the great preachers struggled with what Paul describes here with indwelling sin. And that's a comfort to the Christian to know that the Apostle Paul also struggled with indwelling sin. You know, certain sections of the professed Christian church say, well, there are saints and there are those who are just ordinary Christians. Well, the Apostle Paul was an ordinary Christian, other than his apostleship and the miraculous powers he had. We're all saints in Christ Jesus. And Christian experience shows that this is a present reality for every Christian. Then lastly, the excellency. What do we mean by that? Well, yes, there will be a day where sin will be absolutely once and for all finished and done with. But that's not in this life. We press on, we battle with it. It's our sanctification. We grow. But there is coming a day when the excellency of Christ's work will be thoroughly completed once and for all. And that's when we get to heaven. And that's one of the greatest joys when a saint, the moment they reach heaven, absolutely perfect in every way. Sin is gone. That's one of the joys of heaven and the promise of new heavens and a new earth, as Peter says, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And that's what the Christians got to look forward to. In between now and then, we grow as a Christian. We read the Bible, we pray, we fellowship with God's people, and all that strengthens us in our ongoing battle. I mean, John Bunyan often spoke about the great battles, the Christian on the way to heaven. So don't let some say you can get rid of sin once and for all in this life. You can't. It's there. It's indwelling within us. But it's ultimately defeated in Jesus Christ. And that's one of the great joys of reaching heaven. Sin has been defeated. But the remaining sin in our hearts is what we strive against. And rather than, you know, one of the signs of a Christian is that they know their sin. They know their sin. And often the closer one gets to know the Lord, the more ugly and conscious they are of their own indwelling sin. But our hope and our trust is in our Saviour who's defeated sin. I suppose if you wanted to, if there was only one verse, what would it be? Leaves 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Someone once said, well, on your deathbed, and you're plagued, what have I ever done for Jesus? It's not what you've done for him. It's what he has done for you. I'm not sure if it was John Calvin, who on his deathbed, one of his friends tried to mention all the good things he had done. Just brushed it away, said, I've done nothing. I'm just a sinner saved